Infrastructure, yes, but also jobs. I'm David Brancaccio. The bipartisan infrastructure deal appears on again after running into some trouble over the weekend. The wrinkle was President Biden suggesting he would not sign the $1 trillion deal unless a separate bill also comes to his desk, which Republicans oppose. Marketplace's Nova Safo is keeping track of this.
President Biden reached a deal with Republicans on a narrow portion of his proposed $4 billion in infrastructure and other spending. The agreement covered physical infrastructure, such as transportation projects. But Biden appeared to tie signing that deal to another larger spending package he's called human infrastructure, which Democrats hope to pass without Republican votes through a budgetary maneuver. Here's what Biden told reporters about the bipartisan bill.
But if only one comes to me, this is the only thing that comes to me, I'm not signing it. It's in tandem.
Republicans said that comment threatened to undermine the deal because they opposed the second, larger spending plan covering things like elder care and child care. By Saturday, Biden put out a statement walking back his comments, saying he'd not intended to issue a veto threat. That appeared enough for Republican senators, who told various Sunday morning talk shows that the deal was back on. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Now, the infrastructure bill itself is also an investment in human capital. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has that.
President Biden promises millions of good-paying new infrastructure jobs. Columbia law professor and former Treasury official Michael Gratz says not quite as many jobs as in the president's original, more expansive proposals, but still.
It's a very, very large package compared to what we're used to.
And it comes at a crucial moment, says Manny Rodriguez at Revolution Workshop in Chicago, with millions of skilled blue-collar workers, many of them older white men, close to retirement.
There's going to be enough money for a generation worth of projects. And all the different trades, from laborers to carpenters to iron workers, road builders, you know, heavy equipment operators, the list goes on.
Rodriguez's organization trains minority workers for construction jobs.
And we got to make sure that Black, Brown, and women have clear access to these family-sustaining career pathways.
He says there needs to be money for workforce training and education in the infrastructure mix. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Mixed. The Dow future is down 57 points, 0.2%. The S&P future is little changed. The Nasdaq future is up less than 0.2%. The 10-year interest rate starts the week higher than a week ago, 1.51%. There's a new authoritative take on what happens if policy is able to fix structural racism in the workplace. Addressing wage disparities by race and unequal representation moves a lot of people into the middle class. Shelley Stewart, head of the McKinsey Institute for Black Economic Mobility, is co-author of a report called The Economic State of Black America, What Is and What Could Be. Mr. Stewart, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David, for having me.
You come at this from so many angles. I mean, what's the number here? How many people do you think could be brought into the middle class?
So our work looked at the Black experience through the lens of the different roles that we play in society. So Black Americans are workers, we're business owners, we're consumers, we're residents, and we're savers and investors. If you look at just the worker role alone, if you could close the wage disparity we identified there, you could get another 2 million Black Americans into the middle class.
2 million? I mean, just that's an astonishing number.
Yeah, no, it really is. And again, that just is scratching the surface, given the disparity that materializes across the other roles that we play in society. But yes, income and wage disparity alone would be a significant step forward for Black Americans.
You also took a look at people who are served by public programs. And the report raises an interesting issue about when we fund public schools through property taxes, that can perpetuate these disparities?
That's right, David. And if you look at high concentrated Black schools, and you compare that with schools that are higher concentration white students, you find an $1,800 per pupil per year funding gap. We can make a different set of decisions about how we're going to support our youth generally in this country and really invest in education in a way that does not magnify existing wealth or income disparity.
and get on the stick about a lot of this because it's a matter of social justice, but it's also economic development really for everyone, you calculate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we know that one of the greatest strengths of the U.S. economy is our talent. That talent comes in many forms. Some of it comes when we attract great folks from different parts of the world who want to come and live and work here. And I think we should, you know, continue to celebrate that. But we've also got tens of millions of Americans, many of whom are low income and many of whom are people of color, who also have outstanding potential to contribute to our economy, to our labor force. And if we're going to unlock that participation, we have to invest in educating those folks and ensuring that they have the skills to compete in the job markets of the future. And again, those folks are here and they represent a huge pool of underutilized talent that we should be tapping.
Shelley Stewart III is a partner at McKinsey and head of the McKinsey Institute for Black Economic Mobility. He's co-author of the new report, The Economic State of Black America, What Is and What Could Be. Mr. Stewart, thank you.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me.
And what does it take to get people into movie theaters as the country reopens from pandemic? A sequel, apparently. The 9th Fast and Furious movie called F9 pulled in $70 million over the weekend. That's a lot. Compare this to In the Heights, the adaptation of the Broadway musical, which did $11 million in its first weekend, despite strong reviews and audience scores. Now, F9 isn't streaming for viewing at home yet. In the Heights is on HBO Max and in theaters at the same time. I'm David Brancaccio, Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.